The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Back on Get Up, and the Clemson and Texas Pro Days are Thursday. You can get exclusive coverage on ACC Network and the Longhorn Network. The Tigers workouts will start at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. The coverage of the Longhorns begins at 7:30 Eastern. All draft-eligible players get to showcase their skills. That's coming up this Thursday here with the family of networks on ESPN. Meanwhile, back to our huge story of the day. Dak Prescott signs the contract, and Ryan Clark doesn't need to explain this tweet. He tweeted, "I'd like to pay my respect to Dak and the Cowboys. Thank you for the last three off seasons of contract talks. Will Dak get paid? Leave convos? And did Jerry screw this up discussions? You will be missed. It's the end of an era on Get Up. Don't worry, we'll find something else." That's right. But you know what? One more time, let's show the hype video.
This is an easy hype video to make. You know what you do? You start at cleats, and then you pan slowly up, and you just let the beat play. Guess who's Bizak's playing in the background? You bring it all the way up, and then you lock it on the silhouette of a man. And then light comes on, and it says, "Guess who's that? 2021. The only other option of a video is maybe you have Dak throwing the ball and the ball is actually Dak's head to another guy who looks like Dak catching the ball. And then I want the camera to go in on the middle of the field where the star is. No, not a star. It's Dak Prescott's face.
I'm going to miss that. I'm going to miss this entire storyline. Dominique, the happiest man in the world, joins us today. And Dan Orlovsky, as we have to say goodbye to you for the day, I'm told you've been making mea culpas all morning long.
Greeny, I'm going to do something on national television that's fascinating. Okay, so this is for Tad Prescott. Leave me alone. This is for Cowboys fans. I wore your colors. Leave me alone in my mentions. This is for guys like Graziano, but most importantly, this is for my arch nemesis, Dominique Foxworth.
Oh, egg on my face on television.
He's got egg on his face. Dominique, how about
you
that?
Earned it, Dom.
You can't ask for more. Dan Orlovsky, you are the best. I tell you what, Neek, sit tight. We're coming right to you here in a minute. We welcome you back to our studio. We are live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase. You get some indication. This is a wild morning because of the enormous breaking news from last night. Let's get right to it. A source telling our Adam Schefter that the Dallas Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott have agreed to a four-year, $160 million contract that includes $126 million in guaranteed money. If you don't follow this stuff, it is a monster deal. You could make a good argument he now has the best contract of any player in the NFL. And here's the human side of it. Look at the celebration. This is his brother, Tad, posting this last night. When your little brother gets the call, "Let's go, Dak. Time to win the Dallas Cowboys a Super Bowl." So let's get to the bottom of how it happened. We have waited so long, and here's the man who always has the story, Adam Schefter. For those just joining us, how did this finally get done?
Well, Greeny, there were conversations going on throughout the course of the weekend. The Dallas Cowboys knew the urgency that they had to face this deal with, because the fact of the matter is, if they had not gotten a deal done, they would have had to carry Dak Prescott at the franchise number of $37.7 million. By doing the long-term deal, his cap number this year drops to $22.2 million. They save $15.5 million by getting the deal done this year. And of course, Dak can't walk out the door after this year. Now, Dak Prescott, to his credit, will be able to redo this deal after 3 years because the Dallas Cowboys cannot tag him again. They cannot trade him. There's a no trade clause in the contract, and he will be able to be scheduled to be a free agent when he's 31 years old, when the new TV money has kicked in. And so as rich as this deal is, and this deal is $160 million, which is $4 more million than Jerry Jones paid for the Dallas Cowboys in 1989, Dak Prescott's next contract, if he continues to play well, could be through the roof considering how quarterback deals continue to climb and climb. Dallas had to get the deal done. Dak wanted the deal, and here it is.
And so quickly, Shefty, I think a lot of people who have not followed this as closely as you or I might be inclined to think he got everything he wanted. Dak wins as big as you can possibly win. Is that a reasonable way to see this, and is that what you were hearing from people around the league?
Whether you followed it or not, Dak Prescott is an enormous winner. And the more that he waited and the longer he waited, the more leverage shifted to his side, to the point here, again, where Dallas had no choice. To keep its quarterback, it had to pay. Last year, they were fighting over years. Dallas wanted him on a 5-year deal. Dak wanted a 4-year deal. Now you can make the argument that each got what it wanted, right? Dallas had him last year, and now 4 years, that's 5 altogether. Dak could say he got the 4-year deal he wanted, and obviously the no trade clause, the no tag clause, so he's going to be able to test that free agent market again.
Outstanding. All right, Adam Schefter, always with the insight. Now, as I finally let Dominique comment on this, I just want to give everyone an indication of just how close Dominique has been to the situation here. The celebration that we just showed you moments ago, what you don't realize is that Dominique is right there. He's right with the Prescott brothers there. The cousin, Dominique Foxworth / Prescott, joins us here with his thoughts as he was there for the celebration.
Man, look at that last side
night
eye.
With David and Booger. Dominique, go ahead. The floor is yours.
First of all, happy Dak Day to you and yours. And I'm looking forward to the ongoing Dak Day tradition of Dan Orlovsky every year slapping himself with an egg to commemorate this occasion. Congratulations to Dak and his brother, Tad, and their whole family for what they've accomplished. But I do think, on a serious note, seeing that tweet last night and seeing that picture, it's just emotional. And it made me think about, understand that not very many people get this opportunity, but you understand how big a moment it is for a family to get to something like this. It's not draft day. Like, a lot of people get up, get excited, and get emotional about draft day. For me, it's free agency, it's new deals, because it is the embodiment of a life's work finally kind of paid out for an individual. And not only that, like, as a former president of the Players Association, it's an embodiment of generations upon generations sacrificing to get these players an opportunity to make money like this. And I understand maybe this doesn't feel like a great big emotional moment to anybody else, but March is my favorite month, not only because it's when my birthday is, but it's because those big deals start rolling out and they bring me so much joy every year, no matter what position, no matter what person, they get them checks and I get excited. And Greeny, I'll give it back to you for this last thing. To my cousin Dak, I got one final message. Let me hold something, because that boy got all of the money.
But let me ask you quickly on that. I do want to come back to you in that capacity. Again, as the former player of the president of the NFL Players Association, Dominique, what is the significance of this? This is the biggest win I can ever remember. This is going eye to eye, toe to toe with Jerry Jones, and you know personally what right. that is like. He didn't get to be who he is because he doesn't know how to negotiate, and Dak stood his ground, bet on himself, and won huge. What does that mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is precedent setting, and it doesn't change things for everybody, but I do think that there will be players, or excuse me, there will be organizations, owners, general managers going forward who will have this in the back of their mind. Once they start talking about franchising their quarterback or franchising any player, they will be concerned about how this will end up. And finally, I think that Jerry Jones ended up with a pretty good deal. Like, this is not crippling their cap like everyone said it would. $22 million, I think, is the hit this year. That's about 10% of their cap. It goes up to about 14% next year. Then they can look at renegotiating after that. Like, this team is not hamstrung by this deal, but Dak did have all the leverage. You can't franchise him. You can't trade him. You can't do anything with that man unless he tells you he wants to do it first. That's a lot of power that I think other owners might be concerned about if they go down this road of franchising their quarterbacks.
We are in life not worth any more or less than what someone is willing to pay us. That is the definition of value, and that is the position Dak Prescott and his team wound up putting themselves into, regardless of what anyone thinks of it. That said, David Pollack, what do we think of the deal? When you hear the words Dak Prescott is now the second highest paid quarterback in the National Football League, David, what is your reaction?
Well, I mean, I think about Dallas moving forward and where they're at and trying to win a Super Bowl like Jerry talks about and like we've heard mentioned. And over the last five seasons, Dak Prescott's got paid at the position of quarterback. The average salary at the position of quarterback, he's 28th. That's with being franchised a year ago. And Jerry hasn't put together a roster that was remotely Super Bowl bound. So if you think about the Cowboys and you think about where they've been, offensively, you know, Dak has to perform. They have to be elite with what they've allocated on that side of the football with Zeke Elliott making tons of money, Amari Cooper making tons of money, the trades you've made on that side of the football, CeeDee Lamb, a first-round pick a year ago. So I think when you look at Dak, it's a lot of money to pay. Does this mean the Cowboys get to where they ultimately want to go? They haven't been able to do it with a quarterback getting paid a little bit, so I don't see that changing for the Dallas Cowboys.
And Booger McFarland, is it now reasonable to elevate your expectations? He's getting paid like a superstar. Is it now reasonable to expect him to play like one?
Yeah, I think it's reasonable, Green. It doesn't mean that the people inside the building are going to expect that. We on the outside, we're going to see Patrick Mahomes 1, Dak Prescott 2 as far as average annual value, and we're going to expect him to do the same things that we see Patrick doing, to make the same type highlight plays. Well, that's not reasonable. It's a different offense. They're going to approach it from a different philosophical standpoint. And I think in the end, the Cowboys' offense has to be great, and Dak has to lead that offense. But just because the offense is great doesn't mean that they're going to win, because the defense stunk last year. The defense has got to get better. But I think the expectations inside the building, they're only going to ramp up for Dak. Dak has been the leader of that football team. They expect him to continue being that. And now they're going to want him to go from being a very good quarterback to hopefully over the next few years becoming a great one. But that's a process. That's not going to happen overnight, Greeny.
There's a lot of ways that can go. And no one looks at Deshaun Watson, whose team was 4-12 this year, and says, boy, he didn't do what he was supposed to do. There's a lot more to it. Dominique, I can see you want to chime in. You will in a second. Stay with me. Stay right there. Oh, okay. I have to take a break. I'm coming to it. We have much more to do here. We're coming right back on Dak in just a moment here. Dak Prescott has his deal and seems healthy, so we'll pick up the conversation there. Does this mean the Cowboys will win a championship while he is under this contract? We'll talk about it. And while the deal is done, some things might be getting even worse in Seattle between the Seahawks and Russell Wilson. We will get you the very latest there on a day where anything is possible on this program. Dan Orlovsky owning it in a way we've never seen before, smashing the egg on his face. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
If you're just joining us, the Dallas Cowboys have locked in their franchise quarterback. Shefty telling us the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have agreed to a 4-year, $160 million contract that includes $126 million in guaranteed money. It is as good a deal as has ever been signed by any player in the NFL. And with that, perhaps come expectations. This is what they think in Vegas. Caesars at William Hill believes that the Dallas Cowboys are the odds-on favorites to win the NFC East this coming year. You see Philadelphia, Washington behind, and the Giants last on that list. And as I bring my group back here, we're going to get picks on that in a moment. But Dominique, you clearly had something you wanted to say as we were going to break, and I wasn't able to get it. What was it you wanted to share?
It was just Booger and Pollock pretending like Dak hasn't already been great.
Yes, we expect him to be great now that he's getting great money. But if you look at his QBR over the past two seasons, he's fifth in the league. That's great. You go back over the past three seasons, he's sixth in the league amongst active players. That is great. The man has been great. The reason why this team has fallen short has not been because of Dak Prescott. So let's stop pretending like Dak Prescott needs to climb another level. He just needs to keep doing what he's been doing to earn the money that they are paying him. And if the expectation is Patrick Mahomes, I'm sorry. A lot of quarterbacks are going to fall short. But other than that, I'm not sure there are very many quarterbacks who are more reliable and consistent and in the face of some very serious challenges than Dak Prescott. So I'm looking forward to more of the same, more money, more touchdowns, more Dak greatness.
Booger McFarland, is that reasonable? Has he already been a great player?
No, Green, I don't think he's been great. He's been very good, but there's a different level that you can get to. And I think anyone who's sat there and watched the game of football, you can't say that Dak has been Patrick Mahomes. And there's nothing wrong with that. Patrick Mahomes has been on a different level, Dom. And I don't care what the numbers say. Any reasonable football mind is not going to say, well,
oh,
yes.
That's really a shame.
Good job, internet. Internet.
Leave that up there. I love that.
Leave
the look up. Oh, what a shame that it unfroze, because that position he was frozen in was delightful. Dominique, is that reasonable, though? When people name the best quarterbacks in the NFL, they're going to say Patrick Mahomes. They're going to say Deshaun Watson amongst the younger guys. Some of them will say Josh Allen. I don't feel like they say Dak Prescott. Should they?
They should, but I don't care if they do or don't. The people who don't put him in that situation are fools. Like, of course he's not Patrick Mahomes. Yes, we all accept that. Nobody is, okay? We're good there. But after that, he's amongst those guys. And if you're going to compare stats or records and those things, Dak Prescott is comparable to all of those guys. A lot of people still holding on to that fourth round draft pick. Like, that defines the man who he is. Nope, he's become a lot more than that. The most important and impactful player that Dallas has had in a long time.
All right, let's make the picks here, because we just put up the odds there and I have this order. So, Dominique, you're first. Who wins the NFC East? We just saw the Cowboys are odds on favorites. I don't even know why I have to bother asking.
Who wins the
NFC next East next year?
I mean, it's obviously Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. I think Washington's D-line is formidable, but I don't know. I don't have too much high hope for anybody else in that division. If Dak continues to play like he did the beginning of last season, and like he did the season prior to that, and like he did the season prior to that, and like he did the season prior to that, they're going to be all right.
For what it's worth, even with Dak, who did play well, were it not for one ridiculous onside kick, they would have been winless with him as their starting quarterback last year. Dan Graziano, who wins the East?
Greeny, I started at ESPN 10 years ago as the NFC East blogger. I've learned some things. It's going to be bad. That's not going to affect the TV ratings. It will not be a repeat champion. It's been 17 years, so we can rule Washington right out. And you don't know what's going to happen. It's unpredictable. You throw them all in a hat and pick one out. I picked the Giants, because why not? I like those odds. I'll take the longest odds. I think they'll be okay.
Okay. You know what? There's a lot. I think people are sleeping to some degree on the second half of the season the Giants put together. We'll see. Booger McFarland, who you got? NFC East.
Well, Green, I'm going with the Washington football team, man. And they showed me something last year with coming in. If you look at that division, I think they have the best coach in that division. I think they got the best defense in that division. And I get it. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be, but I trust Ron Rivera, him being the best coach in the division, as I stated earlier. And I get it. The Cowboys offense, they're going to average 35 points a game, Greeny, and probably put up 400 yards. But you know what they can't do? They can't stop a nosebleed. So until Dan Quinn can show me that defense in Dallas is better, there's nobody. You can talk about your cousin Dak all you want to, Dominique. They can't stop me, Greeny, and Graz from scoring right now.
I agree with it. Well, I don't know about me and Graz, but I do agree with Washington. I definitely, again, pending who their quarterback is. But you know what? There are people like Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been so underappreciated for how good he's been the last few years. He's available. Marcus Mariota. They're not going to get some big name that all of a sudden everyone is going to freak out the way we're freaking out today. But top to bottom, that's a much better football team than what they have around Dak in Dallas. I like Washington going in next year. As we continue, no one on earth has more fun talking about Dak and the Cowboys than Stephen A. Smith. He'll be in our studio as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and you want to see a spectacular play? I mean, genuinely spectacular. We got some baseball yesterday. We got Derek Fisher going to pop one up. Watch Jose Iglesias. He's going to come in. He's going to make this catch. He's going to flip it backhanded to Justin Upton, who throws to second for a double play. How about that? The awareness. Look at Upton. He's taken by surprise, but he makes the play. Brewers won the game 10-9 in spring training, which is not relevant, but it's interesting. But that is one spectacular play. All right, as we go, Stephen A. Smith on his way in studio. No one loves the Cowboys' misery more than he does. What's he going to have to say about Dak? We'll find out next. And then the showdown continues. Hembo versus Graziano. Here's the question. Which active quarterback won the most games on his rookie contract? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Lift every voice and sing.
On February 4th, 2007, Tony Dungy and Lovie Smith became the first African-American head coaches to coach in the Super Bowl, with Dungy's Colts taking on Lovie's Bears. In a game which also featured a legendary halftime performance by Prince, Peyton Manning led the Colts to a 29-17 victory, winning the Colts' first title in 36 years.
And we are back on Get Up, and here we go. This is the showdown we always enjoy. Hembo head-to-head with Graziano, who doesn't look certain. Which active quarterback, Dan, won the most games on his rookie contract?
I'm going to guess Russell Wilson, even though I think he's probably got a trickier guy than that. I mean, Russell Wilson's my guess, but I don't think I got it.
Hembo finally got you. The answer is actually Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
Matt Ryan won 56 games on his rookie contract, which is a remarkable accomplishment when you consider how awful the circumstances in Atlanta were when he took over. But Hembo wins. Put one on the board for Hembo, and that one was fair. So we are at 13-9 right now. Graziano still leading Hembo on the season, making Hembo seem a little bit less sneaky. Well done. Okay, obviously, if you're just joining us, our overwhelming story from last night, Adam Schefter reporting the Dallas Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott have agreed to a four-year, $160 million contract that includes $126 million in guaranteed money. And I've had so many people say, well, you guys at Get Up, you talk so much about Dak. No one will enjoy this more than you will. Actually, there is one person who is more ready to talk about this than I am.
Yeah.
The great Stephen A. Smith has made his way in studio. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, man. It's good to see you, bro.
Well, it is great to see you.
Yeah.
Let's get right to the news. You see it yesterday. What was the first reaction?
Well, the first reaction was I'm happy for Dak Prescott. It's well-deserved. In all seriousness, as much as I like to troll Dallas Cowboy fans because they're the most disgusting fan base and nauseating fan base in American history, I can't stand them. And I never like to make Dallas Cowboy fans happy. But it's more important in this particular situation for Dak Prescott to be happy, considering the way that he's performed from the moment he walked into the league as a fourth-round pick in the preseason, as an immediate starter because of Tony Romo's health, and to never miss a game until he got injured last year. In his first 4 years, he never missed a game. It was back page news when he missed practice, for crying out loud. That's how reliable of a professional that he has been as the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. He's conducted himself in exemplary fashion, and so I'm incredibly happy for him. The mixed emotion is unfortunately I'm disgusted at the fact that it took all of this for him to get his money. I mean, you know, particularly considering, and I don't really need to get into it now, but particularly considering all that this country has gone through, and I'm not talking about just COVID-19, I'm talking about the social justice issues and what have you. Considering all this this country has gone through, I've religiously said, when you saw what happened with George Floyd and he had a knee on his neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds and there was riots and protests doing the streets throughout America, it wasn't just because of that. It was because literally for decades, if not longer, black folks have always felt like we've had that proverbial knee on our neck, that we had to do twice as much to get half as much and what have you. Obviously, Dak Prescott got more than half as much. You know, $66 million guaranteed, he definitely got all of that. But the fact that he had to go through and wait this long, it's reminiscent, and you'll remember this because of all your great years of covering sports. Emmitt Smith wins a Super Bowl title. Mm-hmm. The second year after he coming back to repeat, he couldn't reach a contract accord with Jerry Jones. And it wasn't until they went 0-2 and Jimmy Johnson came and threw up his hands at the press conference with actually no words coming out of his mouth because he's like, you know what this is. I need my running back. And then Jerry Jones went out and paid Emmitt Smith the highest paid contract in NFL history for a running back at that time. I have never seen somebody more ticked off than Emmitt Smith appeared at that press conference with Jerry Jones, because he was saying, why me? Why was I the example? Why am I the guy that you had to do this to? I had to go through all of this. We had to go through all of this in order to get my money. That's what I think about when I think about Dak Prescott yesterday. It should not have taken this. And I've religiously said this. If this were Tony Romo, you can't tell me he would have had to wait this long. 42-27 as a starter, 2 playoff appearances in 4 years, completing better than 65% of his passes in the four out of the 5 years he's been in the league. Jerry, if this were Tony Romo, Dak Prescott, Tony Romo would have had his money. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think about, and that's why I say it's kind of, I'm a bit salty about it, and I'm very happy for Dak Prescott. He should not have had to go through this in order to get this contract.
I get it. And Tony Romo, for those who don't remember, there was never a time when he was the best quarterback in the NFL, but he was the highest paid at one time, and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys did give him that contract. So that comparison is reasonable. Having said that, you talk a lot about Jerry in a lot of other contexts.
Yes.
Look, I think we both know he's a very smart man.
Yes.
He really,
and I like him.
He negotiated himself into a corner.
Yes,
here,
he did. Didn't
he? He wound up. He really had no choice but to do this. How do you view that? This, I think, could be looked at as one of the great negotiating wins that we've ever seen. Dak Prescott and his team stood totally fast. They wouldn't give on anything, and in the end, they won in a landslide. That doesn't happen in the NFL.
It's a win. You can say it's a landslide, but when you take into account the TV money that's coming down the pike, the fact that the Dallas Cowboy brand is what it is, they're worth about $5.7 billion, mm-hmm. for crying out loud. You know, and you consider the money that's coming down the pike and how, you know, the cap is going to be elevated over the next couple of years and what have you. You could sit up there and say that Dak may have won because he got what he was looking for, but it's not like Jerry Jones loses in this. He'll be able to afford the guy. There's more money coming down his coffers. On top of it all, Dak Prescott makes them better. And so you take that into consideration and you just say, okay, you know, it's more of a win for Dak because Dak held his ground against a shrewd, hardcore negotiator. But again, you still have to ask yourself the question, why would Jerry Jones need to do all of this?
Yeah, he could have easily solved this problem before it became a problem a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Let me then ask you this, though, in a different way.
Yeah.
Dak has always felt, even being the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, mm-hmm. America's team, he's always felt a little bit like the underdog, like the little engine that could, for some of the reasons you just described and others. He wasn't supposed to be a great player coming out of mm-hmm. college, any of that. Now, with this contract, do you believe the expectations change? Whereas he was the guy that everyone was rooting for, do you think now, if he doesn't play like Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, he's being paid like them, do the expectations change?
I think the expectations change from the standpoint that people are going to be willing to hold him accountable more. But I don't think that Dak Prescott has to play that much differently than he's been playing. Their defense was horrid last year. They were 31st against the rush. They gave up over 100 yards rushing in 10 of their 16 games. 7 of those times, they gave up 125 yards rushing at least. They were the second worst rushing defense in the National Football League, and they were ranked 28th overall defensively because Rod Marinelli and Chris Rashad, you got rid of the both of them in favor of a guy by the name of Mike Nolan. The last time he was a defensive coordinator, he was in Atlanta 6 years earlier in 2014, and they had the 31st ranked defense. So what the hell was he doing being a defensive coordinator to begin with? I think as long as Jerry Jones is there, the pressure that people think will mount on the shoulders of Dak Prescott is, I think it's a misnomer. The reality is that if Jerry Jones makes the wrong decision by picking the wrong coach, allowing the coach to pick the wrong coordinators, you don't fix your defense or what have you, all of us will have our eyes on that franchise where we'll look at Dak and say, it ain't on him. Just like last year, their offense was flowing, even though most of the time they were coming from behind. The fact is, Dak was putting up big time numbers the year before that, 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, completing better than 65% of his passes. The bottom line is, you looked at him and you said, the offense ain't the problem with this team. It's the defense. It's the coaching with Jason Garrett prior to Mike McCarthy, okay? It's the coaching, or it's the owner. You'll be looking at that still. You won't be looking at Dak Prescott so long as Dak Prescott maintains a level of consistency as it pertains to how he's been playing for the Dallas Cowboys.
Ryan, I have one more real quick. Sure. Because we have, will he do it? Jerry is desperate to win a championship.
No.
4 year contract. In those 4 years, will they win it?
Let me make you laugh.
Okay.
We all know how much Dallas Cowboy fans absolutely disgust me.
Yes.
I mean, I've had senior citizens from different states outside of Texas walking up to me saying, how about those Cowboys? I can't stand Cowboy fans. Dallas Cowboys, if they won a damn Super Bowl, I'd host a damn parade. I'd surround myself. It ain't going to happen. They ain't win no damn Super Bowl. Now they ain't going to make the playoffs. They're going to be formidable. They are going to be a threat. But somehow, some way, like I tell you, there's always that black cat running around that franchise, and it will still happen. Now, that doesn't mean they'll stick up to join and win the NFC East and make the playoffs. But win a Super Bowl? Hell no. They ain't win no Super Bowl. They can get all excited all they want. To. They will fall when it counts. They will not let you down. Trust me. Trust me. Just wait. All you got to do is wait. Don't let them get excited. September, October, you know what I'm saying? Holidays might be a little bit better this year than it's been the last couple of years. But when it really, really counts, they're the Cowboys. They will fall. You can book it. I'll host the damn parade. They win the Super Bowl. Because it ain't going to happen. I'll never have to do that. Ever. Trust me.
That might be the best reason to root for the Cowboys to win it is to see Stephen A. Smith hosting the Super Bowl parade. Steve, you're the best. Thank you. First Take coming up in 21 minutes. Stephen A.'s World on ESPN+, and so much more. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, brother.
Great to see you. All right, we got great college basketball coming your way as well tonight. We got two bids on the line. We got the Horizon League Championship at 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN, followed by the West Coast Conference. You got the number one team in the country, unbeaten Gonzaga, playing there. You'll see all the action tonight on ESPN and on the ESPN app. Coming up, with one quarterback drama over in Dallas, all eyes now turn to Seattle. Why one omission by the Seahawks has everyone scratching their head. That's on the way. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Clemson and Texas Pro Days are Thursday. You can get exclusive coverage on the ACC Network and the Longhorn Network. The Tigers' workout starts at 10 a.m. Eastern. The Longhorns begin at 7:30 Eastern. All draft-eligible players will be showcasing their skills for NFL scouts. Don't miss it. A little later this week, get a look at some of the players we will see in the draft. And with that, I welcome you back to our Seaport studios. I'm Mike Greenberg on a very busy day. Get up on ESPN with you commercial-free for the next 15 minutes. talking through the big deal that was made yesterday and another that we are awaiting in the NFL. And then First Take will take over at the top of the hour. It's Molly, Max, and Stephen A. with more on Dak. They're wondering how big a risk Dallas is taking signing him to a huge deal after that terrible injury. First Take following us at the top of the hour. Again, we are commercial free from now till then. And we have Adam Schefter running the hurry up. Schefty, deadline day for the franchise tags. What are we expecting?
Allen Robinson, the Bears wide receiver, would be a surprise if he weren't tagged to any if Chicago let him walk out the door and become arguably the top free agent wide receiver on the market, which is why I think the league-wide expectation is that the Bears will wind up tagging Allen Robinson, preventing him from leaving, and having somebody to help recruit a new quarterback to Chicago. As for Aaron Jones and the Green Bay Packers, the Packers have some significant running back questions. Aaron Jones' contract is up. Jamal Williams' contract is up. Last year they drafted A.J. Dillon in round two, so they have a guy, but do they go ahead today and place the franchise tag on Aaron Jones? That's one of the lingering questions that'll be answered by today's 4 p.m. Eastern deadline, whether the Packers tag Aaron Jones. And the New England Patriots have reworked a contract for Trent Brown when they will trade for him. A swap of picks, late round picks. They will bring back Trent Brown, who has manned the offensive line in New England before. He will agree to a one-year deal worth up to $11 million with the New England Patriots, as Field Yates also reported this morning. And Trent Brown will be brought in on the offensive line for New England. And the Patriots could also be losing their franchise offensive lineman from last year, Joe Tooney. They are not expected to tag him later today, Greeny.
It's a bunch of sneaky big news on a day where we have all of this. And then there is Russell Wilson, Shefty. And so let's get to that. It's another lingering quarterback story, of course, the future of Russell Wilson in Seattle. Yesterday, after the Dak news broke, Shefty reminding everyone on Twitter that signing, among other things, means one of the four teams that his agent had said on the record to Shefty that Russell would be willing to be traded to is now scratched off the list. So the Saints, the Bears, and the Raiders are the remaining ones. And a great deal is being made of this. It was posted yesterday, and we confirmed it's real. This was a letter that was sent by the Seahawks to season ticket holders over the course of the last week or so, talking about the upcoming season, and it does not mention the name Russell Wilson anywhere. It does mention DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jamal Adams, and Jordan Brooks. So is that a big deal? I mean, it's, you know, we made a big deal out of the hype video. It just sort of is what it is. Shefty, I haven't been able to ask you this in a little bit here. What should we be thinking right now as far as Russell Wilson, his relationship with the Seahawks, and the future?
I think the relationship right now is a little bit fractured. I think the fact that that letter could come out to season ticket holders, how does Russell Wilson not get included? He's been the face of that franchise here. He's helped them win a Super Bowl. He's helped them get to another Super Bowl. And you're not including him in a letter to the season ticket holders? It just seems a bit strange. And it does seem like there is some sort of message to be read from that. And the message is that the relationship between the two sides is not where either side would want it to be. And clearly, there are issues that the two sides need to try to work through or go their own ways.
Correct. And I have repeatedly pointed out that the difference between the way this story is being covered than usually someone like you, Shefty, or Chris Mortensen, or Dan Grazio, or any of our reporters, you're getting information from sources. In this case, Russell Wilson's agent, on the record, gave you that list of four teams he'd be willing to be traded to. Again, it's now down to three. Shefty, that is a big difference to me in all of this, and it does beg the question, does he really want out, Russell Wilson?
Well, he's never going to say, I want out, but I think we can all read between the lines and tell that, yes, in a perfect world, I think he would like you. Where do you come up with a list of teams from if you're not interested? Well, I'm married, but if I were to date, here are three women that would interest me. I mean, what is that? That's crazy that you're even thinking like that, right? So clearly there are issues going on there right now where somebody's thinking about other places and other teams are calling. I mean, that's not normal. It's just not normal right now.
Look, David Pollack, I mean, I've said this repeatedly. If I ask you how happily married you are and you say, I'm very happily married, but here is a list of four women I would gladly marry in the event this thing goes sideways, you're already divorced. You just don't know it yet. David Pollack, what is your take on this?
There ain't no doubt about it. You better get ready for the alimony and splitting 50-50. But, dude, this ain't a daggum accident that you're left off, like, the list. Like, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Jamal Adams, you're listing all these guys. Like, you don't really think this can't be done by accident. You know Russell Wilson is the face of your franchise, one of the faces of the league. You don't just leave him off. So you don't start nitpicking about your team like Russell Wilson has and say, you know, the offensive line, I'm tired of getting hit. And you don't tell Adam Schefter about these spots look really good that I would want to go to. So I think that it's inevitable that this fracture will happen. It's about when. But I do think that Russell Wilson has shown you with his personality. He's more of a flirt than he's just going to be I'm just going out crazy and going rogue. He wants to kind of subtly do it and not be looked at in a negative way.
Graziano, one of the reasons that this might be unlikely to happen this offseason is financial, right? So much of this kind of salary cap sport money comes down to finance. It would be very difficult for the Seahawks to trade him away this season, even if they wanted to. Dan, explain that to those who don't know.
Well, if they traded him right now, they'd take a $39 million dead money cap hit for this year for him. That's $6 million more even than the Eagles are taking for Carson Wentz, which is a record, by $11 million. So it would be unprecedented. They could wait until after June 1st to do it, then defray some of that cap hit, take some of it this year and some of it next year. That would be the only way it would really be financially feasible. And that's not obviously out of the question if things don't get fixed. But I think the key way to understand this is something's off its axis there with the relationship with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Can it be fixed? I think the answer is maybe yes. I mean, it's not a situation like we have in Houston where one side is saying it can't possibly ever be fixed. If the season were to go well for the Seahawks, you could see a situation where this is all a distant memory. But something is wrong, and there's no doubt about that.
All right, Booger, so you are, among other things, you're the relationship doctor. I turn to you for this sort of thing all the time. So Graziano is basically telling us, look, $39 million cap hit to trade away your best player. It feels unlikely. But as Shefty and others have said, it does feel like the relationship is in some trouble. So how do they fix this, Booger McFarland, from both sides? How do you make this thing work in Seattle this year?
Well, I think, Greeny, just like any relationship, you have to have communication. And I think the guys make a lot of good points. I think Russell has to ask himself, which is more important, that you become the head chef at a great restaurant where we're known for you and you only? Or maybe you're the head chef at a restaurant that's consistently busy and consistently winning all the time, because they've gone to two Super Bowls and won one doing it the way that Pete Carroll wants to do it. Now, Russ wants to cook more and wants it all about Russ. I get it, but you better be careful because the grass is not always greener on the other side. And you know, the bottom line, it's communication. Pete Carroll has to hope that during the offseason he can get to a point where they can have some face-to-face communication, not Zoom, not FaceTime, but get Russell Wilson in the building, put your arms around him and say, hey, Russ, listen, we're the team that's gone to two Super Bowls with you. We've won one. And if I would have made the right call and handed the football to Marshawn Lynch, you would have two rings. But I tried to let you cook in the Super Bowl, so you only have one ring. They have to communicate. And in the end, I think Russell will still be the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks.
It feels, again, because of the finances alone, this offseason it would be very challenging for them to move on from him. In the meantime, the big quarterback story of the day, of course, we'll finish it where it began, and that is with that man, Dak Prescott. Congratulations to him and the next 10 generations of his family as he signs the second biggest deal in the National Football League and the most guaranteed money ever, a four-year, $160 million contract. The guarantee, I should say, is the second most in history. But we have pointed out routinely or repeatedly this morning why this may very well be the best contract in the sport. Now, welcome to our program, David Pollack. Tad Prescott, who is Dak's brother, is always watching, and he will point out when anyone says something he doesn't like. And so he tweeted, Pollack does realize the Cowboys were the number one offense in points and yards before Dak went down, averaging over 30 points a game. I don't believe scoring is an issue for the Dallas Cowboys. This was Tad earlier today on Twitter responding, David Pollack, to something you said. So what are your thoughts? You had made a point that they weren't winning even when Dak was there. Their offense was putting up big numbers. What are your thoughts?
Well, we talked about it. Like we talked about it with Booger and Dan was that segment. And we said, listen, he better score a lot of points, and this offense better be formidable, because I wasn't even paying you that much over the last couple years. I was paying a ton to Zeke Elliott. I was paying a ton to Amari Cooper, and we had a good offense. Now we got to continue to have a great offense. So, no, I mean, we're saying the same exact thing. He has to be great on the offensive side of the football, and those numbers he put up, regardless of whether they were winning or losing a year ago, they better continue, and they better continue to be great, because you're getting paid a ton of money. You're paying the offensive players on your team a ton of money. You better go out there and carry your team, not just offensively. You better get dubs too. 1-3, 2-3, what they were last year won't be good enough when you're getting paid all that money.
That is the question. Wins, sometimes people will push back on wins being a quarterback stat, but when you're paid like that, David, it feels to me like what you're saying is, when you're paid like that, they're going to hang that on you, whether it is right or wrong.
You dang right. When you get paid like that, you should perform at a high level, 100%. And when you've got the supporting cast around you that are all getting paid, offense better not be the problem in Dallas. It better be like Boog said. If they can't stop anybody and they're giving up 30 or 40, you go play Washington, yeah, they got a really good defensive front seven. I don't care. You're paying all these guys all this money. You better go put up points.
Booger, will in the 4 years that this contract runs, will they be a legit Super Bowl contender? They didn't even win the division last year, and no team had a 500 record. Will that team, with Dak as the quarterback of the next 4 years, make a legit run at a Super Bowl?
Yeah, Green, I think at some point they'll make a legit run, but I also think that we have to stop moving the scale as far as team quarterback performance. Deshaun Watson was outstanding last year. His team was terrible. Are we going to get up at any point saying, man, Deshaun Watson's got to do more? He can't do any more. He was outstanding last year. So if Dak Prescott is outstanding and he is all world and the team sucks, are we going to say that, man, Dak didn't live up to the contract? So I just think we have to stop moving the scale. You can be paid a lot of money and be great, and the people around you can be terrible. Just look last year at Deshaun Watson. So I think they'll compete for a championship at some point, Greeny. I don't know if they can do it this year because their defense is terrible. I like Dan Quinn. I like his system. He's going to have to show me that he can be a little bit more innovative. They need to get some more talent on defense. But in the end, the reason they do not win a Super Bowl, if they don't, will not be because of Dak Prescott, because he has shown he is good enough, but he can't do it by himself.
That's fair. And look, if Deshaun was brilliant last year, Dan Graziano, quickly, you didn't even pick them to win the division next year, so you obviously have at least some skepticism.
Well, they got to get to 11 guys on defense first, right? I mean, there were times last year where it felt like they weren't using 11 guys on defense, and they have to rebuild that and put that back together before I can predict them to win. Also, the offensive line's had some health issues the last couple of years. I know they're saying they expect all these guys back healthy, but, you know, I would like to see Tyron Smith get through 16 games without any trouble before I feel real confident again.
And so finally, Shefty, let me take it back to you to finish it up where you and I began this show 2 hours ago. With the reaction around the league and what we think this contract means, here is a player winning in a huge way, in maybe bigger than I can ever recall seeing a player win, considering the circumstances. What do people think the ripple effect of this will be?
Well, Greeny, Matt Harrington, one of our great producers at ESPN, sent me an email this morning. It said 1 year ago we were in ESPN headquarters, and Todd Archer filed the lead story on ESPN that day, which said Dallas was resubmitting a proposal to Dak Prescott. It was $33 million a year, about $100 million guaranteed. And here we are 1 year later, and the deal comes in at $40 million a year and $126 million guaranteed. And I think with the new TV money coming in, you could only imagine what some of these quarterback deals are going to be looking like 3, 4, 5 years from now. It's going to be a great time to be Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson and the next quarterback class with all the riches that await these quarterbacks. And Dak Prescott, by the way, will be a part of that group because this deal will be up when he's 31 years old with a chance for him to become a free agent again at the age of 31. If he's producing, this contract is going to look small compared to his next one.
And then finally, for those of you who are wondering, well, where was Dan Orlovsky? He was with us early today, and Dan Orlovsky has had egg on his face, not just literally, but not just figuratively, but literally. This morning, he wore it. He has understood that he has been viewed, there we go, as the Dak antagonist on this show. And so to silence the critics and the haters once and for all, Dan Orlovsky with the self-inflicted egg to the face. Booger McFarland, is there ever any circumstance in 5 seconds under which you would do that?
No, Greeny, I'd be too busy trying to figure out how to scramble the egg, but good for Dan. Great for Dan. He deserved that.
Congratulations, Dak Prescott. Thanks for getting up with us. We'll see you back in Better Than Ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.